Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 5, which reads, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Let's put the scripture in its context, beginning in verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Sounds like today's newspaper. It's a description of our society today, and certainly a description of society throughout the ages. Really, not much has changed. There's nothing new under the sun, after all. Now, in verse 1, we read, "In the last days, perilous times will come," and that phrase, "in the last days," is a phrase that's used elsewhere. In the second verse in the book of Hebrews, notably, and this is simply a reference to the church age in general. But human nature, being naturally evil, the reference here speaks of the fact that things will get worse and worse, until God says, enough. And Christ, faithful and true, will return on his white horse to carry believers home and to make all things right, separating the wheat from the chaff. This morning we shall draw a distinction between a form of godliness and godliness with power. First, a form of godliness, and this is largely superficial. This is a form of godliness which manifests itself in the outward appearance only. A superficial form of godliness where there is an outward reverence, piety, and religious expression, but there's nothing real inside. Now, what recalled my mind to this scripture, I put this sermon together earlier in the week, but yesterday we went out and we did some witnessing at the French Heritage Festival, and we ran into all kinds, all manner of people, and all manner of outward forms of godliness. And where we were situated next to folks who exhibited more reverence for a dead saint than for a living God. The contrast was very marked in my understanding. And so let us take heed that our reverence and our public proclamation points always to the living God first. Now, this phrase, a form of godliness, can be applied in many different ways. I want to take a look at some of them this morning. You know, in Jesus' day, people gave charitably, they prayed, and they fasted for a show. You know, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. But surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Now, we have a policy here in this church where when we have something that we offer out to the congregation, like, you know, we'll buy the logo t-shirts from time to time, or taking the Emmaus classes, that there is no charge for these things. And if somebody wishes to reimburse the church, they may do so from the offering. But many times I have people and they'll say, "Well, you know what, I got a shirt and I want you to know, Pastor, that I reimbursed the church for the shirt and I put it in the offering." You know what you just did? You forfeited your heavenly reward by making your charitable deed known to men. And so therefore, do what the Lord says. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you give, your giving is between you and God. That's it. That's it. Continuing in the sixth chapter of Matthew, the Lord had something to say about prayer also. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So again, when we pray, this isn't a condemnation of public prayer, but what this is a condemnation of public prayer without private prayer. So Jesus is making the point here, is that if you're going to go out and do and pray publicly, number one, don't make a show of it. But number two, make sure you're not a hypocrite in the fashion that you're out there in public praying all the time, but you're never doing it privately. Again, in verse 16 we read, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you anoint your head and when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So again, if you're fasting for something, don't make it known to others, and you'll have your reward before God. So all of these things are good. Charitable deeds, prayer, fasting. But take heed that when you do these things, that your motive is not to be seen by men. Take heed that these things are not merely superficial or outward, but rather that they are inward things. So people do all these things and all other manner of things. Some folks think that if they go to church most Sundays, they use Christian cliches, they read and they share those really pithy posts on social media, or they're following the traditions of men, that they're spiritually all set. But for many, this is just a form of godliness. But they only have power if the heart has been changed and the soul saved. You know, a little religion or a little working of some program in and of itself can be a really dangerous thing. You know what Jesus said? He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You know what Jesus is saying here? There are many people who make all of these outward changes, and they get rid of certain sins in their outward life on their own power. But because it wasn't done on God's power, and because God was never invited into the heart, their self-improvement program results in their blatant outward sin simply being replaced by the inward prideful sin. The tendency of such a man is to take a look at other people and say, look what I did, and look at you down there. It's not how the Lord works. You know, those spoken of in our text as having a form of godliness are dead in their pride. They lack humility. They lack repentance. They lack recognition of sinful condition. And saddest of all, they lack the Savior. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice this. He's not even praying to God. He's talking to himself. He's singing, how great thou art, to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And the Pharisee, okay, I fast twice a week. Here we go with the fasting again, right? I give tithes of all that I possess. Now this guy's praying out loud, right? He wants everybody to know what a great guy he is. He's fasting, he's tithing. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. So this guy is mumbling. Whatever he's got to say, it's not for men to hear, but for God. He beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus says? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this is the Lord's commentary on those who have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Those who have a form of godliness, but they're not the real deal. But godliness with power, this is true godliness, which our tax collector found. And so too have many of us found. He recognized himself to be a sinner. He cried out to God for mercy. And he was justified by God. Now, having the greater benefit of living this side of the cross, we who have the same mind are able to say with the Apostle Paul that now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And ultimately, that's the difference, right? Those who have just a form of godliness, are not recognizing their need for a solution to their sin. But godliness with power cannot be attained while we stand, but it can only be attained from our knees. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, I don't know about you, but I care nothing about holding on to a form of godliness without power. Again, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Here it is. Pay attention to this. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." So what then if we are fools for Christ's sake? For surely we who have godliness as a result of the power of God to salvation will be vindicated by the Almighty in the end. We have a hope. We are Christ's workmanship, and we operate under his power if indeed we are ready to yield control of the ship of our hearts to him. So true religion works from the inside out and not from the outside in. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Consider your own case. Are there areas of your life where you have a form of godliness only? Do you talk up your own good deeds too much, thereby reducing the glory of God? Do you go through the motions in public, but tend to laziness in spiritual things at home? Do you accept God's forgiveness, and rejoice in the humility of the Savior, but yet you will not forgive others nor humble yourselves to make peace with others? Do you deny the power of God by a negative, critical, wallowing in self-pity spirit? A spirit more consistent with the unthankful people of the world that we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 than the child of God and what a child of God ought to be. Or worse than these? Do you deny the power of God by failing to receive God's free gift of salvation? Do you refuse God's gifts? Or do you refuse to operate in them because you feel yourself unworthy? It is precisely because we are all unworthy that Christ died for us. For me, and for the person to your right, and for you. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. No matter who you are, what you've done, God is both willing and able to help you, to save your soul, and to give you aid to do whatever it is you're supposed to do today. That may be different than what you want to do today. Two different things, in many cases, and hopefully they're the same. As we're more and more conformed to His image, they start looking a little bit more the same. See, God is able to save, and by way of application, to help to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. That's us. There's a picture in the back, and I know I'm doing this at a risk of making everybody turn around. Way up there in the over the old organ there, where you've got the Father, and Jesus is actually seated at His right hand. And you know what He's doing? You know what the Bible says He's doing? He's making intercession for us. So you don't have to go to Mary, Joseph, the saints, or anyone else. You can go right there. He's right there. And He's God Himself. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace provisions. Lord, if we are in any way not consistent in our Christian faith, Lord, that You will call those things to our attention and give us the discernment, the strength, and the power to be able to work on those areas of our lives. Lord, we don't want to be people with a form of godliness only. We want to be light and salt in this fallen world for however long our time here may be. And Lord, we thank You that You You've offered us the free gift of your salvation, and if there are any here, Lord, that you'd pray this prayer with me, that, Lord God, I've been playing games with a little bit of religion, but really I've been playing games with you, Lord God, and now I see that I'm a sinner, and I need your help day by day. I need a Savior. And I realize that Jesus didn't come for naught, but to pay the penalty for my sin. And he died on that tree for my sins, and that he rose again. Proving the resurrection of the dead. And I need your help, Lord God, not only for salvation, but for everything. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your wisdom, your guidance, and your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.